beat y'all.
Space. Space. The final frontier. Final frontier. Final
frontier.
6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Let's fly.
Engage.
Hit it.
For generations, the Federation has sought out new life, new civilizations, to reach for understanding.
Fascinating.
When we seek out the unknown, we will find things that challenge us, that frighten us. But we do not give in to fear.
We make our stand together.
I think we make a pretty good team.
Join us. You always wanted to see the stars.
Look up and let's see what's out there.
We have come a long way, Captain.
This can be your new home.
Yes. All of you will go where no one has gone before.
Make it so. Make it so.
So show them what you got.
Welcome to Trek Talk, and it is Monday night at 7:30 p.m. We will be live for the next hour. Our phone number here is 646-668-2433, and we're going to be talking about something that has existed for a very long time, toxicity in fandom, in particular in Star Trek. It exists in Doctor Who. It exists in Star Wars. It exists in everything. But we're going to be talking about it in Star Trek in particular. Before we get too far, I want to introduce to you guys my awesome Trek experts who are going to be joining us on a conversation tonight. We'll start off with Charles. He's out in Las Vegas. How you doing tonight, Charles?
I'm hanging in there. Still dealing with the monsoons. Supposed to clear up for a couple of days and come back.
Wow. We also have with us Eric. Eric's out in Portland. How you doing tonight, Eric?
I'm doing good, Jim. I'm really interested in this topic tonight to hear what you guys have to say about it. I think it's particularly current and something that needs a little bit more discussion, so I'm excited about it.
And we also have with us Paul, the wine guy. He's also out in Portland. How you doing, Paul?
Hey, my friends. I'm doing well. Our local heat wave is finally receding into the distance, so able to spend a little more time out in the garden. And I am likewise glad that we are having this topic tonight. I think it's important to talk about the weeds in the garden sometimes. So figure out a good way to maintain a good environment. So I think it's nice that this was something that was lobbied up to discuss.
Absolutely. And last but definitely not least, we have David, and I hope he brought the donuts. How you doing, David?
No, I didn't bring any donuts.
No donuts? That's it. No. You're done.
Out there, I lock it up.
So, this toxic fandom. So, I first got my first taste of toxic fandom way back in 1987, and Patrick Stewart, Captain Picard, was doing his first Star Trek convention. It was in Erie, Pennsylvania, and me and my wife, or my girlfriend at the time in high school, we drove all the way, we made the 10-hour drive down there to meet Patrick Stewart at his first Star Trek convention, and lo and behold, the fans booed him when he came on stage. I was mortified that Star Trek fans would act that way, and they booed him. And after the convention was over, we're waiting on the autograph line, and I apologized to him for the behavior of the Star Trek fans, made sure that he knows I don't feel that way, and I don't think the majority of Star Trek fans feel that way either. And that was my first taste of what I consider toxic fandom. And that was way back, like I said, that was 1987. And here we are in 2022, and things haven't gotten much better. They're still pretty bad, except now people can hide behind the anonymity of their computer. They can say anything, and not have to worry about the repercussions of what they're saying. And they can be pretty mean and pretty hurtful, and there's no one to hold them up to their comments. Now, we try to admin run our board, and a lot of the Star Trek boards try to do the same thing, and try to keep that to a minimum. But it's a full-time job, and it's not very easy, because this is where it gets tricky, guys. This is what I wanted to address. It's okay if you don't like Discovery. That's fine. It's okay if you don't like Star Trek Picard. Hell, it's okay if you don't like TOS. Okay? There's something in Star Trek for everybody. But Star Trek isn't for everybody. Okay? Maybe you like Lower Decks. Okay? Maybe you like Deep Space Nine. Okay? There's something there for everybody. But the underlying message for me that Star Trek is about hope. It's about the future, and it's about infinite diversity and infinite combinations and acceptance and empathy and all those things that Star Trek builds upon. Even if you don't like Discovery, those things are there. Even if you don't like Picard, those things are there. And those are the things that make Star Trek positive and make us, you know, the fans that we are. So I wanted to talk about that. And I've been told many times that you could take a turd and paint Star Trek on the side and I would still love it. And that's not entirely true, because I'm not a negative person. Because you don't hear me dumping on things doesn't mean that I like everything Star Trek, and my tastes are different than my co-host, and that's fine. For instance, my favorite Star Trek movie is Star Trek V, The Final Frontier, and I have my reasons, okay? It's hard to pick my least favorite. Generations, Nemesis, and Insurrection are my three least favorite Star Trek movies, okay? Even having said that, though, if there's somebody talking about how much they love Star Trek Nemesis, oh, well, you know, I love Commander Denatra. She's awesome in that movie. I love the Valdors. I love that battle sequence. I can always put a positive spin on everything, and I always, always will. Because if somebody loves something and identifies with something, who am I to tear that down for that person? And that's something that I think people need to address. Because Star Trek gives people that consider themselves to be invisible in society an opportunity to be seen. And when they're seen through their favorite show or their favorite character, and someone comes along and tears that down, how is that affecting that person on the other side of the screen that you can't see? So that's what I wanted to talk about tonight, guys. And what is the difference between healthy debate and toxicity? When does it cross the line? Does it cross the line? Is toxic fandom really toxic? I mean, this is what I want to talk about tonight. When, if ever, does it become toxic? Okay, so as I said, I love Star Trek V. It's my favorite movie, and I'm not going to try to talk people into liking it. If you don't like it, I have my reasons why I do, and I will discuss them with you. But if you don't like the movie, that's fine. I don't have a problem with that at all. So what do you think, guys? Why do people feel the need to boo Patrick Stewart at a convention? Why do they feel the need to go on Facebook and just tear down Star Trek and attack other fans that happen to enjoy it, attack Alex Kurtzman, attack J.J. Abrams? Why do you think that is? And is it warranted? What do you think? I guess I can get the party started here.
That's fine. I think that there are kind of like two main reasons that this phenomenon has become such a big thing, and there's no question that development of the internet and the way that we communicate differently now than we used to, for example, you know, to use Jim's example back in 1987, the way we communicate is quite a bit different. And, you know, back in 1987, you might get a newspaper article about how people were displeased with Next Generation, or you might get a few fans asking salty questions during a convention. Or you, if you're lucky, you might get a group of organized fans doing something like a letter campaign or something like that to let the studio know what the fans feel about what's going on. So in other words, I guess the reason I bring that up is that I think back in the day, if you hated something about Star Trek, you had to be a really, really dedicated fan to provide feedback that went all the way back to the studio. And, you know, you might bitch about it to your buddy or to the person at the grocery store who would listen to you. But generally speaking, your voice, the reach of your voice was pretty limited. And there's no question that these days, you know, we have the internet, guys. And, you know, the tiniest voice can sound very, very loud on the internet. And so I think communication is just different. And so any conversation about toxic fandom has to include a conversation about information overload. The fact that, you know, every single one of us has taken in whatever it is, X number of emails and X number of posts and X number of twits or whatever it is, tweets.
Oh, we got twits, man. Believe me, we got twits.
Per day, you know what I mean? So there's like a lot of information. Our brains totally work differently than they used to. So communication is different. The other thing that I think is kind of the elephant in the room that there's speaking about is the fact that I don't think there's any question that Star Trek today is a little bit different from the Star Trek of the past. That is not to say that it does not respect the Roddenberry ideals or however you want to, like, you know, deitize him or, you know, kind of like it goes along with the main principles. But does it follow the formula? Does it follow the, like, diagrammatic formula that is basically the same between TOS, between TNG, between DS9, but all the way up to Enterprise? Like all the episodes look the same, right? And Discovery comes out and does something a little bit different, and people absolutely go berserk. And you know, Star Trek is a little bit different in how it presents things. It presents things a little bit more darkly. I kind of blame like Star Trek Into Darkness for kind of heading us down that path, but it just like it just generally does that. And then, you know, it to kind of like as a subset of that conversation, it does little tiny things to canon that takes some people and just send them off the edge. You know, the Klingons is something that like comes to mind. I think people who are generally open-minded like myself and like many people on this podcast, you know, we look at the Klingon changes in Discovery and we go, okay, I kind of like the re-canonizing of things. I kind of like the way it went back and like actually added a little bit more texture and a little bit more depth to the culture. So ultimately it's cool with me, but I can see where people would feel like that is, you know, treading upon sacred ground. So anyway, I guess that was my point, was there's those two main things that I feel like the way we communicate is really, really different, and the way that Star Trek is actually made and presents itself while telling the same types of stories, ultimately doing it in a modern way, looks a little bit different on screen, and I think that freaks some people out.
So, Eric, I used to watch The Walking Dead. I loved it. Until Negan beat in Glenn's head with a baseball bat, we saw an eyeball dangling. I stopped watching the show. I haven't watched it since. I don't care for it, so I don't watch it. I don't watch The Orville. I know it's on. Don't watch it. Don't care. I see posts for The Walking Dead and for The Orville all the time. Scroll right by them. Don't watch them. Don't care. But these fans will claim to hate Discovery, for instance, yet they will watch every episode and comment on every post about why they hate it, why it's terrible, blah, blah, blah. Why is that? If you don't like something, why would you waste what little time you have on something you clearly do not like? Like I said, I don't watch The Orville. I don't watch The Walking Dead. I moved on. Yet people will go out of their way to complain about Star Trek.
You know what, Jim? I totally understand what you're saying. And I guess the way that I look at that is that if you look at all of the – if you literally look at all of the kind of science fiction or even like major like television franchises throughout time, which one is the longest? Which one has had the most cultural influence? You know, you could start checking off boxes, I think, on the checklist of how Star Trek is culturally important, whereas, you know, maybe things like The Orville aren't culturally important, or things like The Walking Dead aren't necessarily culturally important. And I apologize to anybody who just finds that the bee's knees. I'm just saying that I think in some ways Star Trek is a slightly different animal, and it's like verging. If you read the Dune series, you would understand where I'm going with this, and Paul will understand where I'm going with this, but like it's almost verging on a religion. And it's almost verging on something that's so respected and so like
it's like a sacred cow.
And
if someone violates your rules, it's like you profaned the holy word, right? And you've basically done something that makes you a heretic in the storied annals of the old keepers of the wisdom, right? It's like you've done something terrible. You've sinned, and I think that's right. A lot of what you're getting at, right?
Yeah, absolutely, Paul. Thanks for saving me on that one. Yeah, that's absolutely what I'm talking about. And so I feel like Star Trek in general is a slightly different animal from literally every other franchise that's out there. I mean, you could probably argue me into a couple of other things that are, you know, pioneers in some way. But like generally speaking, Star Trek's been around a damn long time, and it's gone through a lot of changes, and it's been evolving with culture. And so people, I think, consider it almost holy. And if you're going to mess with it, it's going to be like you're messing with their religion. I mean, it's like you could almost say that in some way there are a bunch of atheists out there, not everybody, but a bunch of atheists who love Star Trek, who this is their religion, you know? It's that close to it, I think. So am I defending the way that those people interact with it? No, absolutely not. I feel like every human being deserves to be respected and deserves to have their opinions honored. And that's why I love doing this podcast, because y'all believe in the same things that I do. But I can see why Star Trek and frankly, like Star Wars, I think Paul will tell you that they slip into that too, and he'll tell you more about that. But I like why these big, big franchises are a little bit different than The Orville or The Walking Dead.
Yeah, I mean, I completely echo what you say. I mean, I truly do. It's just, and I think it's important as we have this discussion to outline a couple things too. I think for one thing, this isn't something that is unique to Star Trek, right? It's not. We see this all over the place. We see it in particular. You know, I joke that I work both sides of the street, because I'm also a big Star Wars fan and, you know, active in a lot of that community as well, and the people just lose it like there's no tomorrow. I mean, it's like the reactions to the most recent sequels, the casting decisions, those kind of things. And I think a lot of it is not that it's just, you know, it's that it's just not unique to one particular franchise or genre. Is I think we have to keep in mind, as you were saying about social media, our whole society is going through stuff like this right now. I mean, this is not unique to our little corner of Quark's Bar. I mean, the entire society is going through upheaval and a lot of conflicting ideologies that are grappling with each other. And unfortunately, a lot of what fuels that now in terms of how people choose to engage about these things is via social media. And that is, I don't know if any of you have had the experience of being personally attacked on social media, like where somebody really went after you, like who had a different ideology. I had one person explain to me that they believed that social media was like the Wild West. Therefore, there were no rules there. and that manners didn't matter, courtesy didn't matter. All that mattered to them was destroying something that was what you did not believe. And that was just like shocking to me. But I see a lot of that mindset going on. And I think the best of what we can do as like a fan community is to, like Eric is saying, talk about it. And most importantly, if you maintain a group or a web page or what have you, make the rules really clear. And that, you know, that from the upfront, that you don't have to hunt around for them, that it's really super clear that this is an environment where disrespect is just not, you know, tolerated. Diversity and IDIC are our backbone, and this is what we have. And everyone needs to obey that. Where we get into trouble is, I think, and we got to talk about this at some place too, is toxic fandom exists way more destructively beyond what we experience as people working on a podcast or a Facebook group, right? Is when the fandom now is malicious in terms of what it will do to individuals. And they will go after particular actors and performers and producers on social media, and they won't just go after them as an individual going after them. They'll buy thousands of bots and send those out there, and they'll go onto sites like IMDb and Rotten Tomatoes, and they'll deliberately, artificially torpedo their ratings to try to destroy their reputation. They will be really discourteous to studio employees. I mean, there's just all that kind of stuff that we see there. It's super, super toxic, and it's destroying the ability to engage with what's happening. And if you're, and a lot of people are like, you know, they're like, do I want to be a creator anymore? It's like, it's, you know, because it's become so negative, right? I mean, we've seen the casting of Robert April on Strange New Worlds, the casting of the most recent Inquisitioner on Star Wars, right? It's like a lot of really negative, hostile, hateful stuff gets unleashed. And that's something that's super challenging to deal with. Putting up the rules and just blocking people is one thing, but it's still out there in a very malicious way. So I just I want to make sure we include all that too.
Paul, the elephant in the room that you're talking about, for anybody who's not picking up the subtext, is that anytime we post something that is about a African American actor or a black actor
or a gay actor or a trans actor
or anybody who doesn't fit the
or a female or a certain female.
Absolutely. I mean, cis white male is about as safe as you can get. And from there on, there are various stages of, disdain that we get from people. And to us, I guess, one of the things that we're constantly, Jim and I are constantly texting with each other, and I'm sure he's texting with the other guys, you know, we're always asking, why? Like, if you're a Star Trek fan, how can you watch all this Star Trek and not get like some of the fundamental principles that are absolutely antithetical to these practices that you're doing, right? I really do think that it's mountains out of molehills, man. Like, if this was 1987, you would not be getting 100,000 letters a day sent to Paramount about this selection of some actor, right? Yeah, all people got to do is go to their computer, type it up. It takes about 12 seconds to complain about something, and it might even be a little thing. And you might even think your words are a little thing too. Like, you might even, like, some people obviously have very strong opinions and very strong posts, and they really want to let people know what they think. But sometimes you just want to say a little something, and you're like, it's kind of no big deal. But I don't know. I just try and personally always remember that we are all taking in a ton of information every single day. And anything that any of us can do to make some of that information just a little bit more, I don't want to say palatable, because I feel like that makes it, that waters it down. But just like, why not talk about things that are good and positive rather than things that you don't like, you know? Maybe there are 10 things you don't like about it, but maybe there's 3 that you do. Why not talk about those?
Yeah, and I think it's important to try to engage with, everyone's got their own personal brand, right? And, you know, Eric exemplifies this a lot in the way he, I see him, the way he engages with people and the way he tends to go out there, right? It's just like he's very much respect drives his boat, right? And kindness is right there in the co-pilot seat, right? And it's like if he sees someone that is sharing something that they're happy and enthusiastic about, he's never going to tell them that he doesn't agree with them, right? It's just like he may say, well, I have different likes, different whatever, but he's not going to try to lessen that person's enjoyment of something ever.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
I got to let you know, Paul, that you being on this podcast are now part of the leftist agenda that we all are part of. Okay. You weren't around when that happened, but
no,
yeah. Well, buddy, I don't know how far can you move your left arm, right? Because I guarantee you, I'm way further left than you can possibly, than your wildest nightmares. I'm pretty unapologetically out there and left because I believe in enlightenment. I believe in change, and I believe in that's what IDEC's all about. That's what I've been believing in that ever since I first encountered Star Trek as a little kid. It's like we want to make a better future.
We were accused on another podcast that we were being paid by Paramount to say good things about Star Trek and that we're all part of this agenda to push this leftist media spin on Star Trek, which is completely untrue. And
conspiracy theory is everywhere. I mean, people believe anything they read and nit with.
Conspiracy because we're not. And I just... Now that you're here, you're part of the conspiracy now too. So welcome aboard.
It's delightful. So I'm happy to conspire and for a better future with the folks there. But it's just like you know, it's ludicrous. It's ludicrous. So unfortunately, though, we're seeing if it was just people being dicks and being rude, it would be great. But unfortunately, we're seeing this so strongly spill over into like. You know, politics and election work where these people are, you know, getting all fired up and they're going to change things. So we're seeing, you know, at some point there's going to be legislation that's going to rear its head about what is allowable content to be produced. We haven't seen that yet, but at some point it will rear its head. Somebody's going to try to legislate content that they find offensive. So as soon as they can figure out a way around it, somebody's going to try it. Because censorship is when you don't like something and you feel it socially threatens you for whatever reason. And if your reaction is propelled by hate, eventually you're going to try to make it outlawed and crush it. So I think we need to be vigilant as a community, especially for a community that, yes, supports creators, right? I mean, it's just that supports Paramount Plus, I do. That supports Disney Plus, I do, right? I want to see them thrive, evolve, and continue to do good work. But there's going to be folks who eventually are going to try to figure out ways to squash them, and it's terrible. So it's good that – I just think it's good that a conversation like this is a great beginning place for us to be, you know, leading by example, right? I mean,
right,
you can't. There's some things you can't stop, but you can certainly lead by example.
Paul, I think go ahead, Jim, and then I want to follow up on what Paul just said.
So Eric's going to follow up on what Paul just said after this very quick, yet very important, commercial break. So run to the bathroom, run to the microwave, get your chicken wings, get your pizza bites, whatever. We'll be right back.
Take your pizza to the bathroom.
Take your pizza with you. We'll be right back after this very important message.
Hi there, this is Eric from Trek Talking. Do you own a business, produce a product, or are planning an event that would appeal to Star Trek fans? Would you like to harness the power of this podcast to get your message out to the world? We here at Trek Talking are a show made by fans for fans, and we would love to help you share your love of Star Trek on the air, live every Monday and Thursday night at 7:30 Eastern. Contact us through Facebook Messenger at facebook.com/trektalkingandbeyond or email us using the contact link on our website at podpage.com/trek-talking. We can't wait to hear from you. Engage. Trek Talking would like to invite you and your friends to ease your way back into the Star Trek event scene by joining us August 19th through the 21st at Trek Conderoga 2022. The biggest little Star Trek event in Ticonderoga, New York. Headliners Gates McFadden, John Delancey, and Brent Spiner will be giving photo ops, autographs, and will be participating in celebrity guest talks. Trek Talking will also be in attendance as Uncle Jim and Eric chair discussion panels on Klingons and Starfleet admirals. Tour the original series set tours, play some mini golf, or attend an award-winning Elvis tribute show. There is something for everyone at Trek Ticonderoga. We hope to see you there. Engage.
Don't miss Fandom Fest New York, featuring special guests, vendors, artists, esports, tabletop games, and so much more. Fandom Fest, a unique con experience at Proctor's, August 12th through 14th.
And we're back. We're talking about toxicity and fandom, and Eric was just about to finish up his thoughts.
Yeah, I mean, I guess the last thing that I wanted to say was based on what Paul just said, which I think is one of the most important things that any Star Trek fan or any person can really keep in mind in their life, and that is to lead by example. Paul, I think that's an excellent observation, and I think that that extends to people's interactions on the internet. You know, every time you throw out another complaint out there that feels random, that's just like, you know, what did you guys think about Bird of Burr? You may think that you're interacting with other fans and that kind of stuff, but man, it's generating a lot of malaise as well at times. So just make sure when you're having your online interactions that you're doing it with the itic in mind, I guess, is what I'll say. And it wouldn't kill you to put a positive spin on it, in my opinion.
I agree completely. So what do you think, Charles? What do you think about all of this?
Well, it was an interesting conversation with some friends, but I'll leave anonymous. But we've had this conversation a couple of times where they now look at it and say, well, Disney used to be wholesome. Disney's no longer wholesome. It's like you have Toy Story and two of the male toys kiss. And it's like, oh, no, that's not wholesome. I think part of what I've seen come up is something occurs that's not inside a person's expectations, their box. And all of a sudden, they have to get emotional and it's like, okay, I can't support this anymore because it's not in my box.
Right, and Charles, back in the day, the box was a lot smaller back in the day, too. Like now people have 10,000
exactly.
things to watch, so their expectations are different. You know, back in the day, you may have said, oh, the box is pretty small. I don't really like what's going on, but I don't know. I like it enough to watch it.
Well, the thing is, okay, that outside of that box includes new characters. We have Stamets. We have Dr. Culber.
Yep.
We have
Adira.
Tau. We've got Captain Angel.
Yep.
We're getting characters that, okay, they don't fit what used to be quite the standard. Okay, yeah, we've got characters that are having alternative views that how they look at their life. And to sit there and worry that, okay, I can't support this because that doesn't follow my ideals. Well, you've got your ideals, but other people around the world are having their own ideals. And I look at it like I've got a lot of friends who I'm connected with that are gay or however. And I'm more like, walk up, how's it going? I don't care about what goes on and what goes on with that part of their life. If they want to share it, that's fine. If they don't, I'm not worrying about it. But that's part of their life, and I'm one support that they have the right to have that part of their life. If these actors are playing characters that they are acting the part or they are the part, I'm going to support the actor for playing the character. If that's how the character is going to be, that's how the character is going to be. And I know pretty much Jim and Paul and I are in this area. Eric might also be in this. But it was an old saying that my mom used to always tell me. If you can't say something nice, don't say something at all. Yes, nowadays we might want to be able to say something. But I can look at my Facebook page. Okay, somebody just posted a whole string of pictures about outside the country. I don't feel like really looking at them. Okay, I can just scroll right past them. I don't need to comment negatively that I dislike what they post. I can just move on. And I think that's something that a lot of fans just don't realize that they can do, that they just choose not to do. Yes, I think Tilly is a fabulous character. I know there are fans who dislike the character. But, okay, if you want to make a comment why you dislike her, give a good reason. Give an explanation why you dislike that character. Just posting, I hate this character. I think it was dumb that they ever hired this actress. It's like, no, that's not a nice, positive thing to say about a person. And you may get on our Facebook page, you may get your comment hidden when making comments like that. We don't mind people making their opinions known. But just flat out disliking something or being rude about that person or character. As I'm going to mention something we were just talking about in the pre-show that comes up, was there was a nice post of President Obama and Nichelle Nichols together. Okay, that post had nothing to do with politics. It didn't need to sit there and have people making political comments. I personally look at it as if you're making a political comment on that page just after her death, that's a disrespect to her. She was there because she was a fan of the president, and the president was a fan of her. And so they took a picture together. Right now, respect to her, we don't need to be sitting there making political comments about it. Make the comment about the fact that you're going to miss her. Make the fact that she was an important person. And she was an important person to the president. We don't need to sit there and always draw out politics on things when it's not meant to be. We've had issues before of pictures of somebody in cosplay. And there was a big stir-up about that character and why she shouldn't be wearing this. Oh, no, that's the future. She shouldn't be wearing this. That's not what that character should be wearing. That's against the religion. No, that was a character cosplaying. It was nice to see somebody doing something unique. What do you think on it, David?
Hi, can you guys hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you. What's that? Hi,
yeah. yeah, I agree with a lot of the statements that's been going on that you guys have been talking about, and I actually wanted to put in my two cents for it, the idea of why things have been going on the way they are. Well, one is, I don't know if there is such an organization at all that hires people to go out and make criticisms about any type of show, and they get paid for it. That's probably one reason why they've been doing it so often for so long. But that could be one reason why they just keep showing up. But another reason, I was thinking of, with all the shows, like Eric was talking about, you know, like this box used to be smaller, but now bigger. It could be the fact that, yeah, I mean, Eric's right. There's just so much going on now that it's hard to really stick to one show and say, you know, I like this versus a show that people don't like. So I don't know. But to me, I don't know. I think there's a more deeper spiritual reason why things have been going on the way they've been going on, whether political, spiritually, or any kind of, like, anything out there that's been happening. I don't know. But for me, I don't know. I do agree with Charles says, you know, like, if you don't have anything nice to say, don't say anything at all. But a lot of people didn't grow up with that type of family of virtues. So, you know, everybody's different. Everybody has their own take on what the world should be and, you know, all this stuff. So to me, I think, to me personally, though, I really don't think I really don't think that we wrestle very we shouldn't be wrestling against flesh and blood, basically, but the principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of the world, you know. This whole idea of things that have been going on, not just criticism toward TV shows, but a lot of stuff has been going on around the world that's been happening. And to me, I think that all ties together. And so, I don't know. I think there's something more deeper going on that's causing a lot of problems with criticism that's been going on in this world. And does it affect people? Absolutely. I do believe that it affects everybody. And like what Paul was saying earlier, like he was saying about, like, has anybody been on social media, you know, being followed by people who have just been really mean? And to me personally, I have not. Luckily, I've just kind of been staying away from social media for as much as I can, but, you know, every now and then I check on it, and I do see people criticizing not just shows and movies or anything, but a lot of everything else. It's just really bizarre, and it's been going on more and more, and I believe it's because of the internet that has brought everybody together, and it brought everybody out of their true self. And all the uglies and everything that comes along with it. So to me, I think it's just the way the world is just starting to evolve into. And with Star Trek, one of the reasons why I like Star Trek is because it does show a better future. It does show what mankind could possibly achieve. And to me, I just turned it on and set the world out because the world is getting really bad. Whether we want to believe it or not, but just around the corner, you know, lots of things have been happening. So, yeah, that's my two cents on it.
So, here's the thing. I've been messaged from people that have said, I'm leaving your Star Trek page because you won't allow me to have my opinion. And the IDIC, you can't limit people's opinions because IDIC says, I have a right to say what I want to say. Is that accurate? Is that true? Does that mean because I support the IDIC that I have to support your hateful, biased, sexist, homophobic comments because that's part of the IDIC? Is that true, Eric?
No, not at all. And I mean, in much the same, it's funny because I was like visualizing something as you were talking about that, Jim. I was thinking about how, you know, in the Marvel movies, Doctor Strange visualizes one out of X number of millions of possibilities of ways to like beat the bad guy, right? And get through the thing. And so sometimes it's the road less traveled that takes you towards what you really should be trying to achieve. And I think that fits into what you were just saying.
And the biggest thing that baffles me is something that you said earlier, and it's something that blows my mind. How can any fan that claims to be a Star Trek fan, particularly, and I'm going to pick on these people intentionally, TOS fans, how could somebody be a fan of the original Star Trek where we had Lieutenant Uhura, we had the interracial kiss, we had a Russian on the bridge with an Asian on the bridge, we had shows that dealt with the war, we had discrimination, we had everything going on in the 60s, the civil rights, all of it. And Star Trek was right at the center of that. How could somebody watch those shows, take in the message that those shows put out there so strongly, yet not see those messages in any other Star Trek except for that, and think that that's okay? That's what I don't understand.
I think I have to answer for that.
Okay, David, let's hear the answer.
I think people who grew up with TOS were comfortable with the lifestyle, the things that they had going on around that time. And again, it probably all depends on where they grew up, family values, all this type of stuff. But either way, as time went on, things changed a lot. I remember one time my grandma actually had mentioned that she did not like what had been happening with the world because of the things that have been going on politically, spiritually, everything that you can think of. So with that, I think a lot has to do with they're not able to adapt very well, I guess, in a sense. I'm not sure if that's the right word.
Yeah.
But when change
occurs, I agree. I agree completely. That's a perfect word.
Okay. So, yeah, I think them adapting is not what they grew up with. So they can't really adapt to it changing so fast like that. And when TNG came out, I remember hearing a lot of things like, for instance, the Klingons were different from TOS, and nobody had an explanation of why. And so from what I've been told, that there was a lot of people not liking what the new Klingons looked like from TOS to TNG. And then as it went on, and then now Discovery changed it, and, you know, everything started going on again. So I think, yeah, a lot of people probably just could not deal with it in their own way. So they lash out.
Yeah, and I would agree, David, and because of kind of what I was saying earlier, which I think is that Star Trek is – you know, is very, very close to people's hearts. And it's very, very hard for them to accept changes or modifications to anything that's extremely close to their heart. It's the same reason that we, throughout history, you know, different civilizations have had different myths. And every time something has changed, man, there's been a war or a big upheaval or some kind of thing. Television is kind of adjacent to that, you know. There's a lot of things that in Star Trek, when they change a little bit, they matter a lot.
Now, what
exactly
do you say to fans that use the phrase checking off a box or wokeness to describe Star Trek? Is that
my favorite topic?
Would you consider that to be toxic?
Yeah.
That toxic.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is that wokeness is has now become a term that certain folks like to use as as code, I will say, for things like diversity of casting, or you know, values displayed that are consistent with human rights versus certain political views. Or, you know, there are a lot of, I think, things that kind of fit into that woke category. And I will say that a lot of political, like if you want to go on the political end of wokeness, you can say that a lot of liberals did it to themselves because they used that term for a long time as a positive term. And I think the other side has, you know, now turned it around on them. And it's unfortunately the line, as you were saying earlier, Jim, between politics and like just what a television show, the story that a television show is trying to tell and the kinds of characters that it wants to represent gets all mixed up together. And it's a little bit too bad that politics has to play such a role when it comes to representation. It's really, for me, one of the things that modern Star Trek has really nailed on the head is they, and David was just talking about this, was that they have increased the representation of different types of folks that are on the show. Charles was talking about this too. And what that does, the only thing that serves to do, man, is widen the circle and bring more people into the Star Trek family. So, you know, if that doesn't feel okay, there are some questions that I have about how that doesn't, I'd love to hear people try and kind of defend that, you know, how that doesn't fit into Star Trek ideology. You don't have to both agree with the person next to you. You don't have to vote for the same person they do. You don't even have to have the same religion or the same political views, or even, you know, enjoy the same sandwich. you can still watch the same shows and, you know, pick out the things you like and don't pick out the thing. And the last thing I'll just say about that, Jim, is the wonderful thing about today is that we are in the golden age of Star Trek. And so the diversity, the sheer number of shows you have available to you is getting bigger. It's like big and getting bigger, right? So you do not have to be like me and have watched all 800 and whatever it is, 79 episodes of Star Trek that exists. You can pick and choose different areas to focus your time and effort. And you don't have to focus your time and effort on vitriol or trying to tear down other people, which I think is kind of our big point tonight.
Well, I think
also,
one of the great
I think
things
people
about
just want to be famous.
Yeah,
sorry.
That could be.
Get there 15 minutes in. But, okay, let me expand on Eric's little bit. The one thing is, when TOS was out, Uncle Jim could sneak off to the library and see some reruns. Or the rest of us could probably pop on TV and hope there's a good episode of Star Trek on the rerun. Oh, TNG came out. Well, you saw the first episode. Well, unless you had your VCR set up and ready for record, you had to wait for it to repeat in the summertime during the breaks. Or you had to wait for the chance that it might run again. Eventually, you could buy the episodes on VHS. And later DVD as the series expanded. Nowadays, it's different. Nowadays, it was multiple streaming services. Now the fact is you've got your DVDs, you've got streaming. You can binge an entire season in a few days. And yes, you can do that. We're also hitting the point that we're getting new episodes of Star Trek. And we went 40-some weeks with new episodes. That's not something we saw back in the day. Yeah, we got 26 episodes of TNG. We had a little bit of overlap between a couple of series with TNG to DS9, or the DS9 to Voyager. but you had one or two series on you could watch. Now we've got all kinds of series we can watch, we can stream. There is something for everybody to pop in. If you don't like what the new stuff is, then sit back and watch the classic. But give some of the new stuff a chance, because they've done some pretty good job personally with some of the new, most of the new stuff they've come out with. Yes, we'll disagree sometimes that we're confused in where they're going with something, or we didn't like what they did with an episode. But we're still going to move on and watch the next episode. Sure, I know a couple of co-hosts didn't really like what they did with Picard. And Jim and I kind of sat and said, okay, the series was confusing. Let's go back and rewatch it. I know Jim and I got a little bit of a different opinion of the series after rewatching it. It was a series that once you know what's happening, you need to stream it straight through and see it in a few days, and the story pieced together and made sense. But that was just, we're accepting the fact that, okay, let's give it a try, see it again. What do we think? We may be we may not have been happy with stuff. Go ahead.
For Star Trek Discovery, I'm a very open-minded person, and I accept things. I try to understand things. If someone thinks different than me, I try to understand where they're coming from. That's just the way I am, and I think that's why I love Star Trek so much, because it constantly challenges you, your opinion and the way you think. And Star Trek Discovery did something that has never happened to me, and that was, and I said this on the podcast before, but I'm going to say it again. When we found out that we were going to have a binary character, and you guys know exactly where my Star Trek brain went, right? Oh, my God.
Yeah.
They're bringing back the binars. This is great. We haven't seen that in eight. That is how dense I was when it came to that. I had no idea that binary existed, knew nothing about it, didn't know they, them, none of that. I immediately thought of the binars, and through Star Trek, I learned this whole world existed that I never knew was out there. And that's what I thank Star Trek for, because it opened my eyes to this world that I never knew was out there. And that's what Star Trek does the best. And I'm about as open-minded as you could be. And even I thought binary meant binars. Did you guys think that too? Or am I just an idiot here? I mean, when you heard
that's a hard question. I absolutely did not think that, and I do not think that you're an idiot. I think that you're just not exposed. You at the time, you were just not exposed to the concept of binary character, which in fact, Adira, it may or may not be, but definitely refers to themselves as a they. So yeah, I think it's important to say that, like, if somebody doesn't get gender stuff or political stuff or human rights stuff on Star Trek, like, it doesn't, I don't think Star Trek wants you to feel shut out of the game. I think they're trying to, like, bring you in to just, like, trying to understand that there are other people in this world. There's 7 billion plus people on the planet, man, and we all think just a little bit differently, and it behooves all of us, if we want to live together, to try and, like, understand the person next to us just a little bit.
Absolutely, and that's why I love Star Trek so much. So listen, guys, we're out of time. I hope that we had a good discussion. I hope that we got our point across. I hope that people learned something from this discussion.
Yeah, I hope so too, Jim. And I just want to say hello to our good friend JG Hertzler, who just commented on our page yesterday about this episode. And I hope you're listening, JG. And next time, I hope you call in, because we'd love to hear your opinion on topics like this as well.
Oh, wow. Yeah. JG's been on the podcast many times in the past. So, yeah, I just felt this was something that we needed to talk about and get out in the open, which I think we did well. So we're out of time. I'm going to thank you so much to Paul for hanging out and talking with us tonight. Thank you, Paul.
It's my pleasure, man. Thanks for courageously bringing this topic into the light.
I think it was needed. And thank you so much to David for hanging out with us tonight and sharing his opinions. Thank you, David.
You're welcome.
And thank you so much to Charles for hanging out with us. Thank you, Charles.
Thank you. Definitely an interesting conversation. And I think it's one that maybe we just need to continue on later.
And thank you so much to Eric for hanging out and talking with us tonight. Thank you, Eric.
You better believe it. Thank you guys so much. I always have a good time.
And thank you to each and every one of you guys listening, no matter where you are. And before we go, I just want to say that the loss of Nichelle Nichols did not go over my head. I'm very aware of what is going on, and we are definitely going to talk about that in great length on Trek Talking on Thursday night at 7:30. We have a lot to talk about, and I didn't want to cut into our hour with this topic. So Thursday night, we definitely are going to talk about Nichelle and the influence that she had on the world. So don't worry, we are going to talk about that on Thursday night, 7:30 p.m., same bat time, same bat channel. So please come back on Thursday and share your thoughts on Nichelle Nichols. We would love to hear from you guys. All right, guys, as I always say, Star Trek fans are the best fans. You guys better believe that. And please be good to each other and stay safe. Hailing frequencies are closed. Good night, everybody.
Bye, y'all.
Good luck and prosper.
Bye.
Let's see what's out there. Engage.